Hello and welcome to Small Business Big Impact. I'm your host, Jeanne Guilfoy, CEO of Meridian Credit Union. Today's episode explores the idea that sometimes the most powerful solutions to big challenges start with something very simple, like a cup of coffee and a place to sit down. Across Canada, many communities are grappling with food insecurity, social isolation, and the growing need for spaces where people feel safe, welcomed, and seen. In this conversation, we explore a unique model that blends hospitality, community care, and a pay-it-forward philosophy to create a cafe where everyone belongs. We all learned firsthand through the pandemic the value of social connections when we couldn't see our family, friends, or colleagues in person. I love the idea of having a place to go that is welcoming to all and fosters interaction. If you look at areas like the Blue Zone countries where people live longer, it's not about wealth, it's about health, and that starts with social relationships. This cafe is one example of creating healthy communities, and we really care about that at Meridian. Today we're talking with Amariga Alonso, the Interim Executive Director of 541 Eatery and Exchange in Hamilton, Ontario. 541 isn't your typical cafe. It's a charity with an enterprising spirit that builds community through food, dignity, and a unique pay-it-forward system known as the button jar. Amariga, thanks for being on the podcast. So let's start with, can you tell me a bit about 541 Eatery and Exchange? What is it and what inspired its creation in Hamilton?
Thank you for having me. So 541 Eatery and Exchange is a nonprofit pay it forward cafe in Hamilton. We have our own board of directors in the process of applying for independent charitable status. How we started was in response to series of articles in the Hamilton Spectator called Code Red about the Barton Village neighborhood and about the multiple needs here. At that point, our stretch of Barton Street was sort of a food desert. So at our heart, what we do now and what we started out doing was providing access to food, to community, and really importantly, connection for people who feel left out or left behind. Food is definitely how people come in, and hopefully community is how they leave, feeling part of our community, feeling seen, and feeling valued.
That's very inspiring, and I'm so excited to dig in. So let's talk about this button jar. How does it work, and what does it come to represent in the community that you're helping?
Absolutely. So our button jar is, we could say it's our second currency. It's not so unlike a credit union in that folks who are able to are putting in, and the funds are redistributed to people who need them. So our button jar is like a button bank, and the buttons are just tokens that are worth a dollar a piece. You could buy one for a dollar, or you could use one for a dollar. People put in buttons when they can and then use them when they need a meal. So anyone can come in and use 6 buttons, which is worth $6. Towards a meal that they choose, unlike a soup kitchen. And you never know. You never know when you sit down at the harvest table who paid cash, who paid with tokens. Everyone is the same, treated the same. There's a big dignity piece that we emphasize and we want to hold on to. And everything that we do is treating folks with dignity and removing stigma. I think sometimes people ask us, because we're paying meals forward, sometimes people say, why not just run a soup kitchen?
Yeah, why not just run a soup kitchen?
Soup kitchens are wonderful and absolutely meet some real needs. But it's just, we're trying to meet the same needs in different ways. And what we see is that people want and need much more than a meal. It's the intangible things that are really important. People want to be known, just be seen. And so I think in our cafe, you really feel part of something. And for people who feel marginalized or for people who feel socially isolated, this is where we build community and what makes our space really important.
You know what? I think that's so amazing, right? And I hear you. Like, we believe fundamentally that healthy communities start with having a safe place to go, having a place to put your stuff down that's clean and warm. So you guys are living that. That's great. So can you describe, so if I walk into the cafe, what do I see? What am I doing if I'm coming into the cafe?
Absolutely. So if you come into the cafe for the first time and you haven't heard this wonderful podcast, you would feel like you're just in any other wonderful cafe. And yes, you could order a latte. We have breakfast. We have pancakes with syrup and a wonderful BLT, a pretty big menu, actually, extensive offerings. So that part is like anywhere else. But then when you go to pay at the cash, you might notice something's different. You would see the button jar and think, what is this? So absolutely, you could come in and get a latte and you could donate, make a donation of buttons. And then we would help you move the buttons over to the button jar that's available to help folks out. The person behind you in line might really be looking forward to a hot meal that day. And that's what you make possible. It also takes the stigma away from the folks who are getting the meals because everyone is in the same line together. And you might even sit together at the harvest table, which seats 8. So on the surface, things look pretty much like everywhere else on purpose, by design to remove stigma and to make everyone feel welcome.
Right. So I am sure you have lots of great stories about that. So maybe you could share something that really shows those values, how they come alive.
I absolutely could. I started as a customer when the cafe opened. So that's over 12 years. I think my friend Albert that I met, so some time ago in a prior life, I had a work from home hybrid job kind of thing. And I would come in the cafe, let's say every Tuesday at 10 and work for a couple hours. And I had a favorite table where I could plug everything in and the Wi-Fi was just so. And one morning I came in and there was someone at my table. And I thought, okay, so I sat somewhere else. And the next day I came back and I thought, okay, I want to make friends with this person. So I introduced myself and explained my situation and asked if we could maybe share the table. And Albert said yes. And he wasn't real social at the time, but I don't know how many weeks or days it took before we started chatting. And he opened up to me and he lived nearby in the neighborhood and we became acquaintances right before the pandemic happened and the cafe had to close. When the cafe was closed, I was worried about my friend because I knew that he had a lot of challenges that made every day tricky for him. So I asked them, I said, I know this is not maybe the normal thing, but I'm just wondering about our guest Albert. Have you seen him? No, they hadn't. And I asked, do you know where he lives? They were giving big lunches during the pandemic. I said, I'd be happy to deliver some food to him. So they let me know where he lived and I started delivering lunch for him and then taking him grocery shopping and sometimes to Tim Hortons for coffee until the cafe could reopen. Unfortunately, he also passed away during the pandemic, which was very hard for all of us. But the beautiful thing was that 541 came together in that July a few years ago and held a celebration for life for him in a neighboring park. And this is for someone who didn't have much family left and would not have had any sort of event memorializing or celebrating their life. And it was a pleasant surprise to see over 100 people show up with very little advance notice and all sharing the ways that they knew this person and how important he was to them. I think on that note, last week, Wednesday, we held a celebration of life for one of our regular guests. He was a senior who lived across the street, who sadly and unfortunately passed away over the holidays. And so over 60 people came together to talk about this regular guest in our cafe. It was a wonderful display. We had volunteers from 10 years ago who knew the gentleman, neighbors, people from all walks of life, if you could just imagine that, coming together in community for something that wasn't happy or joyful, but it was really needed.
I think those are great, great stories and examples, and thank you for sharing that. So on this podcast, I've interviewed companies that have a social purpose. I've interviewed social enterprises And your business model is somewhat unique. You're not a social enterprise. You're a charity with an enterprising spirit. So what does that mean? And how does that operate?
So the cafe, if we looked at it as a business, would not be seen as a profitable business, because anytime we get close to a profit, we reinvest right back into that. But what sustains us and keeps us going is partnerships, grants, donors, right? So it is an interesting model. It really takes the community to make the community.
So do you try to make a profit so that you can invest that into the program? Like, just maybe talk a bit about that sort of, that model. Yeah.
Yeah, we have two things going on in the cafe right now that I'm excited about. So the cafe that you're familiar with, and we just started a catering initiative in the last year. And we've applied for some Trillium funding to hopefully receive that and grow it. So the catering is more the social enterprise part for profit, that ideally the revenue generated would be reinvested into making the cafe more sustainable and more independent. And also hopefully in the future, be able to help provide a way forward for some of the folks in our community who have challenges with reentering the job market and employment.
Yeah, we're working on that as well. We have a program that we're leading that links up people who are looking for work and can't find it because they're barriered in some way, and construction. So also maybe talk a bit about your staffing model and how that operates. I'm assuming you have paid staff, and so just maybe share with us how that model works.
Yes. So in the staff, we do have an operations manager and a volunteer coordinator. We have at any one time just a little bit under 20 staff, mostly part-time, a lot of folks from the neighborhood. And we have our beloved volunteers. I don't think we could do this without the volunteers. I know we couldn't do it without our volunteers. I just went through the roster this morning, and we had 55 people on the volunteer group. And we have a waiting list. So we've actually, it's a great problem to have. Actually had to say, no, can we get back to you in the spring when we do our next intake? What a blessing. Many of our volunteers have been with us since the very beginning, and are familiar faces to our guests. And we'll see someone come in and, you know, is Jane working tomorrow? Is Anne? I didn't see Anne last Wednesday. Is she okay? So our guests are caring for our volunteers just as we're caring for our guests. It's a beautiful thing.
That's amazing. What other programs do you wrap around?
So we are in partnership with a number of nonprofits in the neighborhood. So one of the nonprofits that we work with is Helping Hands just down the street. They have slightly different hours and help folks with different supports and with clothing. The other one I'm excited about is the Hamilton Urban Core Community Health Center, which is only a 4-block walk away. And we're developing a much deeper partnership with them as they've just expanded their facilities. And so for people in need, they offer some incredible services, not just healthcare, mental health care and addiction supports, but they also offer laundry, wash and dry. You can come in and do your laundry by appointment, and showers as well. So we're actually having a staff meeting this Saturday, and someone from Urban Core is going to come in and talk a little bit more about services that are available 4 blocks away. And then we're hopefully going to definitely have staff take some tours and better understand that. We also work with CMHA, and we have a peer support worker in the cafe regularly. People need that kind of thing. We work with different bike share groups, and we are constantly hosting people who are studying different things at McMaster, whether it's the nursing school. I just spoke at a class on social innovation not recently. So we also have a lot of students coming through, working on projects and partnering with them, whether it's data studies or social work.
So every model, we talked about your model, every model comes with challenges. So what have been some of the toughest hurdles for you in sustaining this, and how are you navigating them?
I think a few things. One is that we are seeing more people in need, and that we are seeing more people with complex needs that we're not equipped to handle. So that's a challenge. The good news, again, is we have partners like CMHA and the Hamilton Urban Core Community Health Center. Because we are a trusted community resource, we're able to make the referrals, or also what's referred to in some circles as the warm handoff, to provide guests with expert care, connecting them with expert care and services that they need offsite. Other challenges, I would say too, the current economy is just challenging for everyone, right? Tariffs are impacting major corporations. We're a steel city that impacts, right, corporate giving. It certainly impacts individuals' capacity to give.
So as you think about the future, what's next?
What's next is definitely stabilizing the operations in a climate of uncertainty, first and foremost. Growing our catering business, which is the revenue generator, right, and promoting that, resourcing it. The third thing is more long-term. We'd love to look at some creative initiatives like a food truck. We'd like to be able to bring our community to people who might not necessarily be in our neighborhood or in Hamilton, and be able to promote it and to be part of celebrations like weddings and street fairs, expand our footprint in another creative way and put more people to work, very importantly.
So finally, for listeners who are inspired, and your story is very inspiring, what's the best way they can get involved or support the work that you're doing?
I think the first and most important thing is spreading the word, letting other people know. If you're a kind and caring person, you care about your neighbors, what's better than sharing the story with your friends? Of course, we always are happy to receive donations of any kind, we have some monthly donors, and those types of donations help us budget, which is great in any business, especially a restaurant. Volunteering is fantastic. Like I said, we won't have another intake probably until the spring, but we'd love to line people up for that. And the catering, we put together sandwich platters, which are great for office lunches. So if anyone is in the area, that would be fantastic. And then we actually have a new initiative. We've been doing holiday markets in December at Westinghouse, just around the corner. So we would love, if someone wants to be a vendor there or just come and shop to your heart's delight, that would be a lot of fun. And of course, peer-to-peer fundraisers are always wonderful. We have a number of people who do that kind of thing. So all different ways to get involved. And if I haven't named off the way that someone wants to get involved, I would love to sit down, have some coffee, have a cookie, and talk about new ideas.
Well, thank you very much for making the time. Is there anything that you wanted to cover for the listeners?
I would say if folks would like to learn more about our Pay It Forward Cafe, they could visit our website, www.541.ca. So we spell the numbers out, FIVEFORTYONE.ca. Our Instagram handle is at 541 Barton, and we're on Facebook as well, folks would like to learn more.
Thanks again to Almariga for joining me. 541 Eatery is a powerful example of how an organization can play a vital role in supporting its community. Their work reminds us that dignity, connection, and belonging are just as important as the food itself. To learn more about 541 Eatery in Exchange, or to find ways to support their work, you can visit their website at 541.ca or through the link in this episode's show notes. We'd love it if you could join us on this journey by subscribing to the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Thanks for listening.